The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. Welcome to Lynn's Warriors, ground zero in the war to protect our children. And now, Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's do this. Welcome, Warriors. This is Warrior Saturday, May 20th, 2023. Can you believe we're almost into June already? This is today's News Talk, 24/7 Global TNT Radio, and I am Lynn Shaw. I think you should all know by now, I am the Warrior. And today, you are all my Warriors for the next hour and beyond. We're going to tell you what's happening around the United States with families and kids, and we're going to tell you what you can and must do about protecting yourselves, your families, and your children online and in real time. We can no longer sit on the sidelines. I tell you this every single week. It's 2023. We can all do something. Thank you for joining us today. Let's settle in, listen up, get ready to take your weekly warrior notes. You know the drill. We have so much to cover. We're coming to you live from a very dark and rainy New York City. Let's rock and roll. You know, I want everybody to start thinking about a new mindset. And that mindset is think culture shift. Think differently. I know it's hard because when we're used to something, we just roll with it. But again, this is a new country. We have to think differently. Once you accept that, the rest is much easier. Now, let me fill you in about a couple of things. You know, I was thinking about human trafficking, which I like to call human slavery because slavery is a much more descriptive word than trafficking. We have more people enslaved in the United States than any other time in history in 2023. And with our border issues, we are going to have more people enslaved in the United States. But I was thinking about something. There's so much misinformation and disinformation online. I keep hearing these two words. So I decided, you know what? I got to buckle down. I got to see like exactly what these two words mean. I think I know what they mean, but I have to double check myself. So what's the difference between misinformation and disinformation? Well, misinformation is false information without the intent to cause harm. Just think about maybe getting the facts wrong. And disinformation is false information that is deliberately shared with intent to cause harm. Think intentionally, you know, you're misstating facts. So then I started thinking, how does this all relate to trafficking, sexual exploitation, youth mental health? We have a crisis right now in the United States. Well, the internet, it's all connected. Think of a big wheel with a lot of spokes. That's what I like to say. That's an easy visual to think about. And the internet, and part of this wheel is the internet, and it is fueling much of these crimes against our kids. But we have to remember, despite all the information being thrown at us and at them, and remember, it's our duty as the adults, as the parents, grandparents, caregivers, to separate fact from fiction, get the story right, to share with our kids, with our other family members, and also within our communities, because that, at that grassroots level, is the only way to truly make a difference. Because something I used to not say, but now I say it because it's the truth, we are not going to stop human trafficking. So what are we going to do? We are going to intervene, we are going to prevent, we are going to educate, and we're always going to remember that we have to provide services, resources for those who are trafficked. That is the best we can do right now in the United States. But I'm thinking about, you know, this internet fueling all of these crimes against our kids, and we got to stick to facts and truths, and especially May being Mental Health Awareness Month in the United States, and the idea of kids having mental health issues, first of all, that's just daunting. That's overwhelming. You know, how did this happen? Why did this happen? Why should a 10-year-old be checking into an emergency room because the parents brought him or her and they tried to commit suicide? Where is this all coming from? This is what we have to get. You know, we hear this root causes about, I don't know, so many different issues these days. Well, let's get to the root causes of our kids and empower them. So we know that mental health is described as emotional, psychological, and social well-being, affecting how we think, feel, and how we handle stress, how we handle crisis, how we make healthy, unhealthy choices. And again, you know, I always tell you leading up to the pandemic, a word I don't like to use, but we have to, there was a mental health crisis among our youth. Again, a lot of it being fueled by the internet. We have all the studies. We have the stats. We know this is the truth. Go to lenswarriors.org where I list out. You can read for yourself. Take your time. Remember, knowledge is power. Educate yourselves. So I just think we have to be very careful when we are talking about anything to do with human trafficking, with human smuggling, with sexual exploitation. Because again, if I, as an adult, am being bombarded on a daily basis with so much information, I have a big problem with people that just automatically, and you know this, warriors, the majority of people do it, they just retweet or they share a fact. When our own media, I know this is a whole nother program, warriors, but you know, our own media, what they do, and I know this firsthand from working in the media, one newsroom, for instance, as an example, will have a story. And everybody in another, you know, media newsroom will rush and say, well, okay, well, that network is covering that, so we have to cover it too. And I've been asking for years, who really researches and vets that this is even truth or facts? They just keep repeating and repeating. And I think we've all seen that on the internet as well. So when we're dealing with any of these issues, and now we're dealing with the border, I want everybody to really think about understanding what's going on, making sure, you know, for instance, follow the warriors, making sure you have the correct information. You are sharing resources. What's the point of just retweeting or sharing something if you don't also provide what I call a take action, a takeaway, a resource? There is no point. Remember, shift your thinking, shift culture, shift everything that's going on right now. It is a new country. It's a new world, but we're going to focus right here on America. So I want everybody to think about misinformation, disinformation. Make sure you're sharing correct information because our kids are suffering. And you know what? Make sure, my biggest fear is, and I'm not a fearful person at all, is that all of this is so overwhelming and dark and ugly. And I say this to my husband all the time, that people will just put their heads, you know, they'll bury their heads in the sand. They'll be too embarrassed to talk about sexual exploitation that's taking place in escalating huge numbers. We can't even, as I'm sitting here telling you, you know, another, since we started the program, another 20 kids have been exploited. Okay. So we have to get over the embarrassment. We have to get over the stigma of, you know, we can't talk about it, because I guarantee wherever the kids are, so are the predators. They're seeing this anyway. It's all being thrown at them on their phones, on their laptops, you know, gaming. Their friends are sharing it with them. So let the information come from you. And again, make sure you know the facts, you're vetting, you have reliable resources such as Lynn's Warriors. There is no more reason to be embarrassed about anything, because there's a war on for our children. And you want the information to come from you. And right now, keep this 988, this three-digit code handy. Like our 911, this is an emergency number for suicide crisis prevention. If you're in crisis, but also what people don't understand, if you just want to get information, you want to find out about local resources, you can dial 988 and find out. They'll connect you. And also, again, being that May is Mental Health Awareness Month and we have a huge mental health crisis, we have 9 out of 10, 9 to 17-year-olds who have actively tried to commit suicide, not talk about suicide, tried to commit suicide. That's what we know about. So we know the numbers are higher. Go to the NAMI, NAMI.org. That is the National Alliance of Mental Illness. Don't be embarrassed. They will connect you with wonderful resources. They will help you. They will talk to you. They will be there for you. Remember, this is about awareness. It is time to acknowledge what keeps us up at night. Well, this is what keeps me up at night, that our children are slipping, our families are slipping, people are overwhelmed, all designed, I dare say, but let's not get off track with all of this. You know, this is the purpose. So other things in the background can take place while we are worried about all of this. But today, children are the currency. We've got the border. It is a humanitarian crisis. This is a bipartisan issue. This is not about political parties at all. This is about human rights abuses. So what is exactly does all this border talk mean, other than we've seen some images and we hear it's horrible, and here in New York City, I'm seeing all the illegal aliens come, as are other people. Well, you know what? We are going to get some answers very soon. Our guest, Michael Cutler, is joining us, and it's such an honor. He's a fellow New Yorker, retired senior special agent of the former INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service, with over 30 years experience. And Mike will fill us in about the border, national security, smuggling, trafficking, but most importantly, what needs to be done immediately to stem this crime wave unfolding before our very eyes right here in the United States. Mike Cutler, when we return to Lynn's Warriors here on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Steve Hook.
Massive push to the left, but there is a difference this time around. Sometimes these things kind of go in cyclical natures. You will see these cyclical changes. The pendulum swings from the right to the left. And this is the way it has always gone and probably will continue to go. However, nowadays, we are seeing a coordinated effort, simultaneous coordinated effort across the globe to push the new narrative, to push woke and whatever else you want to call it. And I think, and I pray, that the pendulum is reached its zenith and it's about to swing back the other way. We shall see. But this Durham report, not shockingly, poo-pooed by most in the mainstream media, not because it's not newsworthy. By God, there's nothing more newsworthy. It is not exaggeration. It is not hyperbole to say that this is the single largest scandal in the history of the United States. It is. It's worse than Teapot Dome. It's worse than Watergate. Teapot Dome, of course, was, we're going back to ancient history here, but that was all about a financial scams and goings on. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of financial scams going on with the Biden family, to be sure. But it wasn't nearly as politically corrupt as what we've seen the past 6 years.
Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hi, Gemma Simon here from the Newcastle Jets for RAD. Playing any sport means setting the right example. And it's not just about how players focus and behave when they're on the field. It's also about their actions and behaviours off it. That includes things like drink driving, drug driving, and driver distractions. No one can perform properly if they're under the influence or distracted. So make sure you make the right decisions when it comes to getting behind the wheel of a car, and you'll definitely earn respect for it.
A message from RAD.
There is a war on for your children. Children are under attack at every level and on every front, from the government, big tech, education, medical, Hollywood, and society. This is Lynn's Warriors with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It is such an honor, Warriors, to have Michael Cutler join us today. He is the true warrior with over 30 years experience in law enforcement, from being a senior special agent with INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service, to being the first INS agent to be assigned to the Unified Intelligence Division of the DEA. That's the Drug Enforcement Administration, and so much more, including testifying in front of Congress many times, providing testimony to the 9/11 Commission. And you can find out more about Mike and his excellent, and his excellent writings, articles, and other media appearances. But selfishly, his best one is going to be right here with us on Lynn's Warriors today. The website is michaelcutler.net. And I urge all of you right now, well, after the interview, to go there and learn truths and facts and how you can help wake up America. Welcome, Mike Cutler, to the Warriors.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for that great introduction. Thank you for the work you do. And thank you for having me on your program.
Well, thank you, Mike. I got choked up as I was reading it. I had to, you have so many great credits, so many things. MichaelCutler.net. I want everybody to go there. There's so many great articles. There's so much great information. And that's what we need, Mike, to get through to the American public. I first want to start with you. I want to thank you, truly thank you, for your years of service and for continuing now to fight for families and America in this very overwhelming environment. You're truly the best, and it's such a pleasure to be meeting you and to be sharing your information. And I want you right now, Mike, to wake us up. Wake us up. Let's get into it. I have a million questions for you. We can both agree all of these issues we talk about are bipartisan, correct?
Absolutely. It's not left or right. And both parties have gotten us into this mess. Let's be crystal clear about that.
Now, you describe yourself as a lifelong Democrat, but have never voted a party line. So let's talk about this today. What does that mean? And also give us your thoughts on the Democratic Party today and also the Republican Party, because everybody's at fault here.
Well, why don't we start out with a great quote from our first president, George Washington, during his farewell address. This was on September 17th, 1796. It's almost as though he had a crystal ball sitting in front of him. This is what George Washington had to say about political parties. He said this: however, political parties may now and then answer popular ends, they are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. brilliant quote, and understand that we elect representatives who are supposed to represent us, we the people. But guess what gets in the way? The party elite, who make demands on the politicians to do as they're told, or they get defunded. Without money, they can't win campaigns, and the money corrupts the entire system. As a federal agent, I could not take a cup of coffee on duty. Think about that. After the Supreme Court decided Citizens United, which meant that unlimited amounts of money could be pumped into political campaigns, everything came off, the wheels came off the wagon, and it's absolutely startling. We need a new official in the government at the cabinet level, the official auctioneer. What do you think of that?
I think, Mike, we have to clean house. I don't know if it's going to happen in our lifetime. Like, you know, it's too corrupt. It's too, you know, fed it with all these people. This is me. I'm not a negative person. I know you're not a negative person. I don't see any way around this unless the whole thing is started, you know, fresh, anew. I do want to ask you, you know, I listen to your Blog Talk Radio. You have your show on Friday nights.
Friday
and I listen
night,
to Les.
7 o'clock.
Yeah. Yep. 7 o'clock. You're a lifelong New Yorker, lifelong Brooklyn. Yep. I'm here in New York City. So I listened
even
to
went
last
to Brooklyn
night.
College. You can't be more Brooklyn than that.
And you're here your whole life. You can't be more Brooklyn than being like here your entire life. And that's refreshing to know, because when I first came from New Jersey, let's see, over 40 years ago and moved to Manhattan, you know, you used to meet people that were lifelong New Yorkers. And now, Mike, I don't meet them anymore. There are no like lifelong, very few lifelong New Yorkers. But here's what I want to ask you. When I was listening to the Blog Talk and you were talking about your dad was in construction, and you used to go and like collect the cans for, you know, make the 10 or 15 bucks. And it got me thinking, so why, what made
bottles,
you go? Right. The deposit bottles where you would get the, I don't know what you got in those days. A nickel.
It was like, I think in those days, 3 cents a bottle. This is back in the, the early 60s. Yep.
3 cents a bottle. And you would have the 10 or the $15. And then I got to thinking, your dad's in construction. What led you, what made you want to go into all of this very heavy, like law enforcement, this whole career? Cause it's very, very daunting, your whole career. Tell us about how you got started and give us you know, kind of this brief overhaul of your career.
Well, I was initially going to be an aerospace engineer. I lost both of my parents to cancer within a year of each other when I was in college. I've been on my own since I was 21. Yes. And I really get angry when people talk about the jobs Americans won't do. My dad went to work even as he was dying of lung cancer, in part because he smoked Chesterfields, but more significantly because he worked in the Navy shipyards during the Second World War and was also exposed to asbestos on the construction jobs. And I literally carried him off his job his last day at work. He was 57. I was 19. And my mother was already diagnosed with terminal breast cancer. And this guy got up in the morning, could barely put on his boots the last day. And by the middle of the day, he called me and said, you better come get me. It was a raining day. The rain matched the mood of everybody. He was in tears. His fellow construction workers were in tears. I was in tears. And my ability to study evaporated. So I promised my parents on their deathbeds that I would get my college education. Neither of them had even gone to high school. My mom came here as a 13-year-old from Poland ahead of the Holocaust. Her mother couldn't get out of Poland because she was Jewish. I'm Jewish. She was killed during the Holocaust. I was named for her. My mother, at the age of 13, lived by herself in a rooming house and supported herself by working in a sweatshop, making umbrellas for $3 a week. And by the time she was in her 20s, she had actually become the chief buyer for a major dress company that during the Depression was so successful that her boss became one of Roosevelt's dollar-a-year men, frequently going to the White House to provide advice to the president. And he frequently pointed to my mother with her fourth grade education, only in her 20s, as the reason he was so successful. And so for them, education was everything. For them, being moral and honest and hardworking was everything. And my ability to study evaporated. Two of my kids are now successful mechanical engineers. My ability to study went bye-bye at that point. Things were really in chaos and turmoil. I was an only son, only child. So I cared for my parents, worked, and went to college all at the same time. So I wound up with a degree in communications, arts, and sciences. And here I am, 21 years old, walking across the Brooklyn College campus with a lousy average. As I said, my ability to study went poof. And I noticed they were giving the civil service exam, the Federal Civil Service Entrance Exam, the FSEE. One of my friends said, Mike, why don't you take the test? Where are you going to get a job? And that was my next responsibility, was to support myself. Took the test, wound up in the top, I think it was 2 or 3% in the country. All these agencies reached out to me. One of them was immigration. And to me, law enforcement was always appealing because I wanted a job that, number one, gave me a steady paycheck and so forth. Construction workers go through hell, constant layoffs and so forth. But more importantly, I wanted a job that made a significant difference. And when I did a bit of research, I realized that enforcing immigration law could be a very important job. While most people don't realize it, what immigration does is a follow-on to what the military does. And I want you to think about it. And I've made that point when I've worked with speakers bureaus where they provide seminars for the military and the intelligence services. And I've never been disagreed with by rooms filled with Air Force generals and so forth. The shared common mission of the U.S. military, I don't care which branch, is to keep the enemies of America as far from our shores as possible. But up close and in person, guess who gets that baton? It falls to the Coast Guard, the Border Patrol, and ICE. Back then, it was just simply the Immigration and Naturalization Service. Terrorists, enemy combatants, and spies, in order to do their damage, have to get here. And they don't only come by running the Mexican border. The notion that we are a country of four border states is bogus. It's nonsense. It's propaganda provided by both political parties. The Mexican border only accounts for 2% of the U.S. border. Think about that. We have 95,000 miles of coastline. We have a Canadian border that's more than twice as long as the Mexican border. And then we have more than 110 international airports scattered across the entire country in every state of the union. That's why I've been making the point for years that America doesn't have four border states, but 50 border states. Now we're being told, well, we're a country of 50 border states because the aliens coming across the Mexican border are heading for the rest of the country. Well, that makes every state a destination state. What makes every state a border state is that aliens gain entry into our country through every state, whether it's the northern border, our coastline, seaports, international airports, or ships going out and meeting other ships at sea and bringing people and cargo and contraband along our coastline without going through a port of entry, just the way they do on the Mexican border or the Canadian border. So I realized how important this would be. I started my career as an immigration inspector at Kennedy Airport, did that for 4 years. When I helped Arizona with their immigration law, and if you remember, it went to the Supreme Court, I described my four-year tenure at Kennedy Airport as an inspector as the time that I had my eye to the peephole on America's front door, right? No one is considered antisocial if they lock their door at night and expect people to either ring the bell or knock on the door to let you know that they want to get in. You look through the peephole and you have every right to say yay or nay, depending on what your inclination is. Nobody can force their way into your house unless it's a federal agency with a warrant or a law enforcement agency with a warrant. You have an absolute right to tell strangers, I'm tired, I'm eating, I'm sleeping, I'm showering, I don't like what you look like, go away. And no one says you're antisocial, you're being prudent, you're exercising your right to maintain your privacy, your domain. Countries are no different, but when it's done on the national level, we call it something different. We call it sovereignty. Other than President Trump, and I have disagreements with Trump on a number of issues. I'm not one of those guys who says he was always right, but President Trump was the first president since perhaps either Kennedy or Eisenhower who recognized and understood the significance of sovereignty, and not only sovereignty for America, but every other country. Look at the speeches he gave at the UN. Every time he used the S word, sovereignty, the leaders around the world had a fit. Because as I was told by an individual during a hearing that I did during a recess, he walked up to me and said, we've got to stop this business about border security. I said, our border is our first line of defense and our last line of defense. He says, yeah, well, for me and my buddies, it's an impediment to our wealth and you got to knock it off. Think about that. Wow. So the idea of moving people, goods, and money across international borders is a huge money generator for the people at the top of the food chain, but it also provides access for aliens who pose a threat to our well-being. And by the way, just very quickly, and I write for Front Page Magazine, by the way. I've been writing for them since 2014. Please check out my articles. They always like to include links to sections of law. The section of law I want everyone to check out, and I'll say it twice so you can write it down, 8 USC, that's Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182. 8 USC 1182. It enumerates the categories of aliens who are not to be permitted into the country, and it has not anything to do whatsoever with race, religion, or ethnicity. If it did, I couldn't have enforced those laws for 30 seconds, let alone 30 years. It's about aliens who have dangerous communicable diseases. Think COVID. Think that Ellis Island was a quarantine station. Aliens who have severe mental illness, aliens who are criminals, terrorists, fugitives from justice, human rights violators, war criminals, human traffickers, drug smugglers, spies, terrorists, if I didn't mention them. Then we get to aliens who would become a public charge, and aliens who, if they work, would displace Americans and drive down wages of American workers. In fact, it was FDR who was strongest on immigration law enforcement when he tried to get America out of the Depression. He said, I don't want a single American to be displaced by a foreign worker. Foreign workers will work for less money. And on top of it, they will take the jobs that I want Americans to have. So the Labor Department ran immigration. During the Second World War, it was realized that saboteurs, Germans, were coming to the United States on U-boats with the intentions of blowing up significant facilities. For example, the power stations in the basement of the Grand Central Station, because they wanted to disrupt the trains that were bringing the supplies to the piers that were being sent to England to help Great Britain with the war effort. So at that point, the administration said, you know what? We need to move immigration from the Labor Department, where we're protecting jobs and wages of Americans, to the Justice Department, because this is a huge national security issue. And it stayed with the Justice Department until 9/11. And then Bush moved it to the Department of Homeland Security. But the way he created DHS violated the Homeland Security Act. They were never supposed to cut immigration in half between Customs and Border Protection and ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They were never supposed to fold other agencies in with it. And most of the people who called me to testify were the Republicans who wanted me to provide a counterpoint to what the Bush administration did, because what he did undermined border security and national security. Think about that. And we've had the same problem with Obama. We certainly had a huge problem right now with Biden. But this is an issue that involves every challenge and every threat we face. And it's not about xenophobia. It's about common sense. And so here we are today in the middle of a crisis that has been a long time in the making.
You know, Mike, first of all, your whole history, your life sounds like a movie. It sounds like it should be a screenplay, and it sounds like we need to make a movie about all of this. I feel like my whole life, I'm 62 years old. I've been hearing, you know, like periodically over the years about we have this crisis, the border, and now this explosion of what's going on. So here at the Warriors, we focus, you know, on children. We try to intervene. We try to prevent. We try to give families that are overwhelmed, you know, resources and all that. So I want to just throw some headlines at you that I just, first of all, everybody keeps saying migrants, but these are illegal aliens. These are people, as you pointed out, rightfully so. You know, again, everybody, michaelcutler.net is the website where you can see all of Mike's fabulous writings and things like that, other media appearances. These are people just invading our spaces. But I want to ask you, and then we keep getting, you know, about a month ago, 85,000 unaccompanied minors. And then I keep asking Mike every day, so where are all these kids now that came? Everybody lost them? I don't have one answer from anybody, Mike. To you, what is the meaning of unaccompanied minor? And how do we explain losing 85,000 kids? Let's just start there. What are your thoughts on this?
Okay, well, let me just start with the use of language, because what you did was brilliant. And, you know, my degree was in communications, arts, and sciences. I call it my BA in BS. But in reality—
Oh, I like that.
We think— You like that, huh? We think with words,
yeah.
Okay? Without words, we're incapable of thinking. If you can alter the language, you alter the thought process and your understanding of issues. George Orwell was brilliant. Everybody, here's a homework assignment, okay? Get 1984 and read it. It's a quick read. It will keep you awake, but you will understand the tactics. Starting with Jimmy Carter, immigration agents, immigration employees were ordered to stop using the word alien. Under Title 8 United States Code, I think it's 1001. I have to go back and check it out. But it's all the definitions. when you have laws, you have to define what we're talking about. If ATF talks about firearms, there's a section of law that defines what a firearm is. The DEA, there's a section of law that defines what drugs are. You can't enforce immigration laws without defining it what an alien is. So an alien by law is simply defined as any person, not a citizen or national of the United States. There's no insult. It's a statement of fact. You know, I have many friends, but none of them are members of my family, so they're not my relatives. That's what we're saying. We're simply saying that a person who comes here from another country is not a citizen. They could be wonderful people. It doesn't mean they're dumb or immoral or ugly. All it means is they're not citizens, period. But when you use the term immigrant, which was a concoction by Jimmy Carter, and then you dare suggest we keep anybody out of the country, they label you as anti-immigrant, xenophobe, and the list goes on. Nothing could be further from the truth. By the way, as it is, we already admit more than a million lawful immigrants every year. They're immediately placed on the pathway to U.S. citizenship. That is more than the rest of the world combined. We admit tens of millions of temporary visitors, aliens. Again, more than the rest of the world combined. So this name game is really critical to the tactic. Just like there was a word that started to make the rounds a few years ago that alarmed me. The word was disruptive. When we went to school, if you were disruptive, your parents got a phone call and they weren't happy. Now we're told being disruptive is good. This company is disrupting the industry. Why aren't they saying it's a game changer? It's revolutionary, right? No, it's disruptive. We were being primed for the notion that disruptions are normal and wonderful. Baloney. Now they're calling them migrants, okay? There are American migrant workers. Cesar Chavez, who started the American Farm Workers Union, was dead set against illegal aliens, although in the media, he's portrayed the exact opposite. American migrant workers work on farms and do other manual labor and travel around the country looking for work. That's what makes them migrants. And they're Americans. But again, they're using a word that gets rid of the idea that these are aliens who do not have an inherent right to be in the United States. Okay, aliens have to prove that they're not inadmissible. Citizens can't be denied entry. As an inspector at the airport, I practiced this for 4 years. But aliens have to prove that they do not belong to one or more categories of exclusion that I laid out before. And so, again, this is the nonsense. They're calling them migrants. So I have a different word for these folks. If you don't want to call them aliens, call them what they are. They are clients. They are clients of immigration law firms, and you have immigration lawyers on both sides of the aisle, and they are clients for NGOs, non-government organizations, that laughably are referred to as nonprofits, even though they get hundreds of millions of dollars of government contracts. So when you see those aliens coming across the border, and by the way, this started with Obama, and Mayorkas was at the helm of Citizenship and Immigration Services, another division of DHS that nobody talks about. They give out the keys to the front door. Citizenship and Immigration Services, and I spent a year as an adjudicator, so again, I'm speaking from personal experience, provide aliens with citizenship, green cards, political asylum, and so forth. When Trump wanted to build a wall, the Republicans wouldn't give him the money, right? Nor would the Democrats. And everyone went crazy. It's a wall of hate. The border wall was not designed to keep people out of the country. It wasn't designed to keep a single person out of the country. Think about it. It didn't block ports of entry. It just made certain that everybody would be vetted, go through a port of entry so we could keep out the bad guys and create records of entry. When you go to a baseball park or a football stadium, you're expected to go through a gate, buy a ticket, maybe go through a metal detector, take your seat in the stands and have a great day. You're not supposed to jump the fence and traipse across the field. Okay, when you go to the airport, you wouldn't get on an airplane if you saw people sneaking past TSA. Why? Because TSA is supposed to keep bad actors off of airplanes. Our inspectors at ports of entry are supposed to keep bad actors out of our country. So this whole business about no border wall, no immigration law enforcement is designed to flood America with what I call the immigration delivery system. It delivers aliens who are clients of immigration law firms, clients of NGOs, aliens who provide cheap, exploitable labor. And by the way, it's not just the illegals. It's also the high-tech visas displacing American high-tech workers. Alan Greenspan testified for Schumer back in 2009, had the chutzpah, as we say in Brooklyn, to refer to computer programmers and other Americans with multiple graduate degrees as the privileged elite, and said that the solution to wage inequality is to make Americans compete with foreign workers. And the problem was our immigration laws shield American workers. Well, of course they do. That's the intention of the law. So when you hear politicians saying we need to modernize the immigration laws, They want to remove that section that says that foreign workers should not displace American workers as long as there are Americans ready, willing, and able to do the job, and they should be getting the jobs. How dare we do that? How dare we look out for American workers and the wages that they earn? And in fact, recently, Mayorkas was speaking glowingly about all these aliens that were let in, millions, who were sending money home through remittances. Think about that. Obama pumped how many billions of dollars into the economy, calling it an economic stimulus package? If we put money in the hands of the Americans, they'll spend the money, and the money will circulate through the economy and generate more business and so forth. Economists call that the multiplier effect. Money wired out of the country may as well be burned. It does no good for the U.S. economy. And here is the head of Homeland Security speaking glowingly about billions of American dollars being shipped out of the country by people who should not be here. It is stunning. And if you look at immigration law enforcement and the way that the judges have come up with decisions, smugglers and some immigration lawyers and others have figured out a way to exploit the immigration system to do the opposite of what's supposed to be done. For example, DACA was created by Mayorkas pretty much. DACA, Deferred Action Childhood Arrival, was about deferred action. We've always been compassionate. So if a family came to the United States and somebody got sick or they were involved in an accident, we wouldn't say to somebody, well, your father might be in a coma, but you have to leave the country by Friday because that's when your visa expires. No, we allow them to stay here as long as we have medical proof from the attending physician that, in fact, the family member is unable to travel, that they're very sick. And we would keep in touch with the doctors, and we would allow the people to stay here under what's known as deferred action. We might even give them permission to work if they were going to be here for an extended period, because few people can go months without working. Okay, so they took this humanitarian program. Guess what they did? We're going to allow millions of aliens to have their action deferred. And people said, well, it's about the children. No, it's not. The cutoff for DACA back then was 35. It was actually the same basic program as comprehensive immigration reform, but they twisted it to make it appear that it was about kids, because all that the aliens had to do is before they hit 35, claim that they came in prior to their 16th birthday. There's no ability to interview that many people. There's no ability to do an investigation. So they got away with it. Now they're using parole, which is supposed to be used, or asylum rather, for people who face persecution because of race, religion, or ethnicity. People suffering poverty aren't entitled. But what we've done is overwhelm the asylum program, which is a threat to national security, because the 9/11 Commission identified immigration fraud, and particularly fraud in the asylum program, as the key method of
Mike, hold that thought. Terrorists. Mike, okay. I don't mean to interrupt you, hold that thought, because we want to take a headline, and then I want you to get into exactly what you're talking about now. And also, thank you for bringing up about what I call the border industrial complex business. Because nobody's talking about this, about all these NGOs making tons of money, immigration lawyers making tons of money. So thank you for bringing that up. But hold your thought. We're going to grab a headline. This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose. The more things change, the more they remain the same. The Durham Report released this week detailed voluminous crimes committed by FBI, election interference, lying to FISA court judges, falsifying testimony, suborning perjury, many, 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 many crimes. Election law violations by the Clinton campaign. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. And yet, there will be precisely zero consequences. And nothing will change. Headlines today: FBI agent security clearance revoked for sharing a Revolver News article about January 6th. FBI jackboots unexpectedly show up to the childhood home of pro-life activists. Quote, they see me as a threat. And most tellingly, FBI fails to comply with subpoena deadline on Biden crime family related documents. DOJ and FBI are corrupt top to bottom. What America needs is an attorney general like Edward Levy, whom President Gerald Ford brought in 1975 to restore order and integrity to both the Department of Justice and the FBI. That's what needs to happen here. Heads need to roll, and malefactors in the department and bureau need to be indicted, arrested, perp walked, prosecuted, and imprisoned. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Children in poverty, each one unique, each one full of dreams. They're our hope, our future. They're the reason Children International exists. When the whole world changed, we developed new ways to reach children and families in poverty during these vulnerable times.
I'm learning every day.
I'm healthy and strong.
To learn more, go to children.org/help today.
You're with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, we are talking with Michael Cutler, everybody. True warrior, that's what I'm calling him. Over 30 years experience with being a special senior agent with INS, which is Immigration and Naturalization Service. And he is filling us in with so much great information that you're not hearing anywhere else. Please, I urge all of you, go to the website, michaelcutler.net. Now, Mike, please continue. I interrupted you. We were getting into 9/11 Commission and national security, and that's what we want to hear about.
Okay, so I wrote an article for Front Page Magazine back on May 19th of last year, because if you remember, Title 42 was supposed to be ending then. Of course, they didn't. We had a reprieve for about a year. So the title of my article was Title 42 and Chaos on the Border. Okay, so now in my article back then, I included a link to an article by the Corruption Chronicles by Judicial Watch. I want everyone to listen carefully. Think about the $4 billion that was allocated during this monster omnibus spending bill to deal with the border. Not to secure the border, not a penny could be used to secure the border. It was all about providing all sorts of services to people who shouldn't even be here. Just stop and think about that. So here is the headline. This is from Judicial Watch Corruption Chronicles. Nonprofit gets no bid U.S. contract after hiring Biden official $17 million in unused $17 million in unused hotels for migrants. All right. But now I want to read a paragraph and it'll curl your toes. I promise you. Okay. The group that received the lucrative no bid award, Endeavors, had never provided beds or all-inclusive emergency family residential services when ICE hired it to do so, auditors found. Now, the auditors was from the Office of Inspector General, basically Internal Affairs, okay? Formerly known as Family Endeavors, the Texas-based nonprofit, claims to passionately serve vulnerable people in crisis through its innovative, personalized approach. Last year, a national news outlet reported that Endeavors won a colossal $530 million government contract just months after it had hired a Biden administration official, Andrew Lorenzen Strait, as its senior director for migrant services and federal affairs. The contract is by far the largest ever awarded to the nonprofit, according to the article, and is potentially worth more than 12 times the group's most recently reported annual budget. Lorenzen Strait, a former ICE official who also advised the Biden-Harris transition team on the Department of Homeland Security's policy and staffing matters, must have pulled some strings. That from Judicial Watch. How's that for a story?
Well, I'm speechless, which I never say, but okay, so let me just sort of like, because I'm getting crazed over all this, Mike. I'm sure
welcome
you are
to my
other
world.
People.
Welcome to my world.
And I can't stop thinking about it. And I want to try to shed light for the public or how I can get them involved and how we can get them involved to take action or protect themselves. So if I named you, let's jump ahead. If I named you right now, let's block everything out. You know, you are going to be our border czar. What would the steps right now immediately be taken to stop, to stem this, to address this? Because I don't know, it's so far gone. And also, I want you to explain, what do you want people to know? Like what? Because people say to me every day, Mike, what can I do? I don't know what to do.
We'll do one.
How would you address all of this?
I'm looking at the clock and it's moving much too quickly. So here's the story. All we're hearing.
That just means you have to come back for, listen, Mike, that just means you have to come back. You'll come back for another episode. We'll just keep having you come back to share the information.
As often as you want, okay? Okay?
Thank you.
Truth is power. Knowledge is power. So here's the story.
Yes, I agree.
Well, all we're hearing from the Republicans who are happy with open borders, why else would they not provide funding? Why don't we have enough ICE agents? We only have about 6,000 ICE agents. And because of the way Bush put the whole program together, and remember, it was mostly the Republicans who wanted me to provide a counterpoint. They were policing their own. I wish the Democrats had the same moral fiber, okay? But the Republicans have also morphed. So John Hostetler and Jim Sensenbrenner, Lamar Smith, they would call me up, or their staffers would, the chief counsel would. And the conversation always started with, well, now what did he do? And who was the he? George W. Bush. And I was actually told that when Bush heard that I was going to be before Congress or doing national TV, I used to do 30 or so television shows a month after 9/11, he would have a meltdown and scream obscenities. If anyone has access to a video of George Bush gyrating, send it to me. I would get a chuckle out of what that guy did to us, okay? So the idea is we're now going to hire more Border Patrol. We don't need IRS agents. We need Border Patrol. Border Patrol is a lost cause. I mean, I love them. I went to Border Patrol Academy as a new agent. You know who we really need to hire? ICE agents. Now, why is that? Because the Border Patrol mission is simply that of interdiction. Once you get past the Border Patrol, or once you get past that inspector at a port of entry, the Border Patrol mission is over. They have nothing to do with anything that now follows. More than 5 million aliens, at least that's what we've been told, have come through the southern border. God only knows who's come across the northern border. In fact, the Justice Department just issued a press release about how the American government and the Canadian government are working together to stop the smuggling of fentanyl, aliens, and so forth across the northern border. In fact, I worked closely with the RCMP when I was up at DEA Intelligence. I had desks at the FBI, DEA, ATF, so I got a firsthand look. My first fraud case caused me to trip over a terror plot in Israel, and we prevented the bombing of an oil refinery back in 1976. From that day on, as you might imagine, I had a wonderful working relationship with the Israeli National Police. So I've seen this from a global perspective, okay? So what we really need is interior enforcement, because we have now had a storm. We have been flooded, and we continue to get flooded. Don't you mop up after there's a flood? Who mops up? ICE agents, because their mission is to arrest aliens working illegally or present illegally, to go after employers who illegally hire alien workers, to go after lawyers who enter into criminal conspiracies to enable aliens to get immigration benefits by committing fraud. And again, immigration fraud was identified by the 9/11 Commission as the key method of entry and embedding for the terrorists. In fact, the first time I testified before Congress was on May 20th, 1997, 4.5 years before 9/11. The issue was immigration fraud and visa fraud because of the two terror attacks carried out in the United States in 93, including the first bombing at the Trade Center that killed six, injured over 1,000, almost brought the towers down and inflicted a half billion dollars in damages. All right. Immigration fraud is not investigated by the Border Patrol, but is the bailiwick of ICE. So if you ramp up interior enforcement, then we have a prayer of getting things under control. If people marry an alien for money, they don't live together. Today, that's, you know, the topic of Hollywood movies, and it's a big ha-ha. It's not a ha-ha. It's a national security threat. So if we arrested the people who marry aliens for money, put them in jail, that whole business dries up. That's how you do things. You deter people by enforcing laws, not by throwing the doors open. And now both sides are talking about comprehensive reform. Think what that would mean. We're going to give everybody who's here illegally lawful status, a pass to citizenship. The sun's going to shine. Oh, and by the way, there will be no interviews. By the way, there will be no field investigations. We're talking about tens of millions. And they will immediately have an absolute ironclad bulletproof right to petition to bring in every one of their minor children. What does that mean? Let's say we legalize 25 million, and on average, they each have 4 kids. Some will claim 20 kids, right? And they're not going to check DNA. But remember, Mayorkas told his adjudicators, get to yes, approve petitions for visas, even when the FBI warned them that some of those visas might involve terrorist groups from Iran. He said, I don't care. And he ordered them approved. Inspector General did an investigation, found malfeasance. And guess what happened? He got promoted to the number two position at DHS. And now he runs DHS. Okay. So the idea is go after all of these issues that involve interior enforcement. You know, a long time ago, I was on with Lou Dobbs many times. I think it was my second appearance on Lou's program. I coined an expression that was probably the most plagiarized. I said that nobody would break into the amusement park if they couldn't get to go on the rides. We are paying for these folks to ride. Why are you shocked that they're here? Think about that. And if you look at the 9/11 Commission, they made it crystal clear that border security, and not just the Mexican border, they specifically talked about visas. The way that terrorists were able to get visas enabled them to enter the country. Are you hearing anything about the legal immigration system? Absolutely not. Does anyone even generally Nothing. Hear about citizenship and immigration services? Absolutely not. And when you say we're going to build a wall, everyone says, well, they'll come with a taller ladder. They don't need that. I could put something in the pocket of any alien who wants to enter the United States, and they could walk right in and be hugged, welcomed with open arms by our own government. It weighs less than an ounce, and it fits in their pocket. You know what it is? A green card.
A green card.
A green card. And those green cards are adjudicated by Citizenship and Immigration Services. What do you think of that?
Well, Mike, I can't, because my head is spinning. It was spinning before I talked to you, and it's spinning now even more.
When I met Jim Sensenbrenner, who was the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee way back when, we did an event and he showed up, I said to him, Mr. Chairman, if I can't sleep at night, then I don't want you sleeping at night either. Sorry to say it to you, but that's how it is. We all need to understand the threats that we're facing. These are self-inflicted wounds of design.
I wanted you to leave us with a final thought. We have about a minute or two tops. Give us some hope. And then, Mike, of course, I'm going to have you back because I want to get more into this. And I want the public to be made much more aware of what we're really talking about. And I also want to talk to you more about the landscape of New York, too, with everything going on here. But give us something happy, something good that you can leave us with.
We need to get together with our neighbors. Stop using the nonsense arguments. The Democrats aren't liberals. You asked me about my Democrat affiliations. They're anything but liberal. They've gone from liberal, which I am. I raised my kids to be liberal. Liberals celebrate the First Amendment. We encourage debate and discourse and discussion because a true liberal believes everyone's entitled to their beliefs and the right to speak freely without fear. Is that what exists today under the Democrats? Absolutely not. They're the antithesis. And by the way, bleeding heart liberal, terrible term. We all want friends who are compassionate. It's time that compassion applies to Americans of every race, religion, and ethnicity. Why is it wrong to be compassionate? We're just aiming the compassion the wrong way, and the enemies of America are using American compassion as a weapon. Sit down with your neighbors. I don't care what their political affiliation is. We have the same dreams, the same hopes, the same concerns for ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren. We should stand united as Americans to protect this great nation, to protect our children, to protect our freedoms, and protect the future of our kids and grandchildren. What do you think of that?
I think it's very well said, Michael Cutler. Mike, thank you for being at the forefront, engaging, educating, telling us everything we need to know, empowering. We want to empower people. We need more Americans like you. The website, again, everybody, is michaelcutler.net, frontpagemagazine.com. You can find articles. Thank you, Mike. I could listen to you forever, but we are going to chat again soon because this is the kind of information, Mike, that people need to know about, and I guarantee they are not hearing. So we will indeed chat again soon. Thanks, Mike.
Absolutely. It'd be my privilege. Be well, stay safe. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Warriors, you just heard boots on the ground, Mike Cutler, extensive career, lifelong career, dealing with immigration, dealing with all of these issues. We're going to have Mike back on soon to talk further. He's a lifelong New Yorker. I'm in New York talking about the landscape of New York immigration, what you need to know with your families, you know, what you need to know to keep yourself safe, keep your kids safe. This is affecting each and every one of us. And that's what we want all of you to understand. You know, our kids work, your kids work very hard. The older kids making money, our grandchildren, we pay a lot of taxes. Contact, we still have to keep it up. We have to go out and vote for 2024. We have to at the grassroots level. We have to city council members. There's a lot of good ones in New York, young ones, all kinds of demographics running who want to get involved in government, witnessing all of this. We have to at that grassroots level, engage everybody, support everybody. Still, House.gov, Senate.gov, we got to go after them. They work for us. Know who represents you. Contact them. You know, voice your displeasure. We have to continue talking about this. We cannot let up for one day. And again, I want to recommend everybody go right now. There's a lot of great information. Michael Cutler, C-U-T-L-E-R .net. Start reading about Mike's stuff, his career. He knows what he's talking about. And again, we are not hearing this information anywhere else, I can guarantee you. So remember, it is up to us, communication with each other and our kids. Talk to your kids. Remember, we have a youth mental health crisis going on in the United States. We got to start dealing with the kids because it's so dark and overwhelming, all of these issues we just spoke about with Mike Cutler, we can't lose, you know, stay in our lanes. We got to stay focused. We got to stay on top of things. Communication. So I want to say to all of you, please follow the Warriors, lynnswarriors.org. Here is your assignment for the week, dirtydozenlist.com. How can you help 12 entities that are exploiting our children sexually and not doing enough to take the materials down? We've got the Apple App Store, Roblox, OnlyFans, GitHub, eBay, Discord, Instagram, Kick, Snapchat, Spotify, Twitter, Reddit. I guarantee we know from our studies, every one of those platforms has sexual predators on them. And every other platform not mentioned there has sexual predators on them. This is the annual campaign where you can sign on to. All you do is add your name and zip code. It goes directly to the corporation for them to take action. DirtyDozenList.com, a project of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, partners of Lynn's Warriors. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Alex on the board for keeping all running smoothly. Also, we've got Ruckus, our producer. This is the critical and crucial news and information you need to know. Until we meet again, this is Lynn's Warriors on today's News Talk TNT Radio. Remember, today and every day, it's 2023. We can no longer sit on the sidelines. It's time to take action. Go to michaelcutler.net. Engage, educate, empower yourselves and your kids. This is today's News Talk TNT Radio. Go out and be a warrior.